Welcome everyone to the BC Lions season preview call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Claire Hutchinson. Please go ahead, Ms. Hutchinson.
Hi everyone, this is Claire from the League Office at the Canadian Football League. Welcome to this installment in our annual season preview call. On the line today we have General Manager Ed Hervey, Head Coach and VP of Football Operations Wally Bono, and Quarterback Jonathan Jennings. We'll be jumping straight into the Q&A today to talk about the season ahead, so let's kick things off with the first question.
Perfect, thank you. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset prior to making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Chris Schultz with TSN. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Coach Bono, one of the more interesting questions when you close out a career is, if I only knew back then what I know now. Not so much in terms of regret, but just the learning process on developing a team or developing players or running an organization or just creating a balance in life. What do you know now that you wish you knew back then when you first started?
Chris, how you doing? It's good talking to
good.
You.
Good.
That's a very thoughtful question, and I'm not sure I know how to answer it, except for the fact that you know, the thing that I've always believed in, and I still to this day, I mean, maybe it's been more and more emphasized to me, is that, one, you win with good people and great players. And, you know, if I didn't know that at the beginning, I definitely know that today because, you know, the great players, but the chemistry in that locker room are so critical. The two have to be a big part of what helps you to win, you know, games and also championships.
And question for Ed. Ed, tough year last year for the Lions in terms of rushing the passer, getting quarterback sacks. When you look at players you identify, do you notice the natural skills more than anything else going through the camps and the assessments of the one-on-one ability? Or do you more look at as a pass rusher who fits a system based on a coordinator?
No, first of all, how's it going?
Good.
Good to hear from you. When it comes to the players, you try to get players that fit the skill set of being able to pass, rush the passer. It's not scheme oriented because schemes change so much in this league, and coaches kind of move around, or, you know, from time to time, and you'll find yourself overhauling the roster more than you'd like to. So when we're out scouting players, there's basic skill sets that we look for in pass rushes. Not only from the outside, but the inside. But where again, you can get pressure from guys who are physical at the line of scrimmage as well. I mean, it's not solely based on the guy's ability to get around the guy. Sometimes you want a guy who's willing to go through a guy, and those are the kind of guys that we're looking for as well.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. The next question is from Graham Kelly with Medicine Hat News. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Wally.
Graham, good morning. This must be the 41st time you and I have done this or something like that, right?
That's right, and I'm certainly going to miss you when you're
no
longer
doing your thing
here.
I thought you were going to retire when I retired. Is that true?
Yeah. Wally, what do you see as the strengths of your football club this year?
I think, you know, again, to you know, Ed's point about, you know, helping us to get better, I think he's done that. But I think also, too, to what Ed said when he first came here is that, you know, the nucleus here was good. Last year, we did not win a close game. And if I look at it, I think all 6 or 7 games that were close, we lost. And the difference between having a good season and a bad season sometimes is just that in itself. You know, when you look at what Ed's done, he's got out and revamped the the roster, but I think that the biggest thing he's revamped is the line of scrimmage for us. And one of the things that we discussed, you know, was about being more mentally tough, more physically tough. And when you look at, you know, the makeup of our team, that I think is going to be more evident, you know, this year. And football is a big man's physical game, and Ed's always had that philosophy. He approached it in the agency, in scouting, And I believe we'll be a bigger, more physical team. And when you look at the West, everybody is big, everybody's physical, and there's a lot of skill. So, you know, I feel good about where we are. I feel good about the fact that, you know, we have a great group of veteran team, and there's going to be great competition at training camp. And, you know, our job as coaches is to make sure we put the players in the right defenses, right offenses, and right special team schemes. And if we can do that, you know, then I believe the sky's the limit.
Are there a couple of major question marks going into training camp that you need to have answered?
Well, I think, again, you know, the question marks are always where you left off last year. And, you know, I believe those have been addressed. But, you know, till you come out of training camp, till you start playing regular season games, you know, you always have to be, you know, aware of that. And our line of scrimmage, both on offense and defense, is going to be better. To Chris Schultz's, you know, thought about pass rushing, we got better pass rushers right now. And when you look at, you know, guys like Odell Willis and Apton, and, you know, these guys are excellent edge pass rushers, and, you know, they're the ones that really control the quarterback as much as anybody else.
I know there's been some changes in administration. Do you still have the final say in terms of player personnel?
No. The only thing I have the final say on is what time I get up and what time I go to bed. The way Ed and I agreed on doing this, Ed is the general manager. He has final say on players that are brought to the BC Lions. You know, and I got to commend Ed on this. He's been very, very good about having my input, but at the end of it, I leave the office, and Ed makes the decision, and, you know, I totally agreed with that. I think that was the only way the transition would work, and, you know, I think he's done a great job, both in free agency. When you look at our draft, same thing, our draft addressed the line of scrimmage. Our draft addressed the physicality of our football team and the depth of our football team. So, honestly, it's been very, very refreshing having Ed here. He's given me some time to reflect, and he's done an awful lot of hard work to make us into, I think, a good football team.
Wally, as always, I wish you nothing but the very, very best. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Graham. Look forward to seeing you on June 1st.
Yep.
Thank you. The next question is from Dan Ralph with the Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Wally, if I may, if I could ask you, with this being your last season, do you approach it any differently? Is there a sense of nostalgia at all as you prepare for 2018?
No, I don't want to think of it that way. I want to think of it as, you know, the next season with the high expectations. And I've always approached it the same way. You know, honestly, I thought 2017 was going to be my last season until, you know, probably more towards the latter part of October when David was very candid about he wasn't going to sell and he wanted me to help him in the transition. You know, so to me, I don't want to put pressure on the team. I don't want to put pressure on Ed or the players or the coaches. You know, my job is to coach in 2018. And after that, you know, life goes on, and you know. But we have our own expectations, and we have our own goals, and you know, we want to be in Edmonton in November when it counts.
And Jonathan, if I may ask you, knowing that this is Coach Buono's final year, does that put any? I don't want to say added pressure, but does that put the does that increase the level of expectation among the players?
You know, I don't think that's the case. I think that we all have high expectations of ourselves each season. So we got to come in and have that expectation, have that desire to win regardless of, you know, who's the coach. But as Wally said, he's going to coach in 2018, and we have to play in 2018. So, you know, our job is to come in, and he preaches it all the time. Our job is to come in and win, and not just to play football, but to come in and win football games. So, you know, that's our goal. We have that expectation for ourselves, and, you know, it'd just be the icing on the cake to, you know, send Wally out on a good note.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question is from Chris O'Leary with CFL.ca. Please go ahead.
Hey, question for Wally. My math might be wrong here, as it often is, but I think the last time you had a GM and you were just a head coach, I think it would have been 1991. What's it been like so far? I know it's just through the off season, but just to just focus on coaching. And do you think that's going to be kind of freeing for you a little bit this year?
Well, you know, it's already been freeing, and, you know, honestly, it's been very good for me because, you know, I haven't had to, you know, go through the ordeal of being the GM, which puts a lot of pressure on you, both emotionally, physically, mentally. It's a grind. It's a grind right now with free agency. It's a grind with the cap. It's a grind with all the issues that you deal with every day. And, you know, Ed's given me the right to have input without having the pressure or the aggravation. And so, you know what, at this time in my life, it's been great. I've thanked Ed about 100 times, you know, for that, because at the end of it, when I see him struggling or, you know, gut-wrenching over a decision, you know, I know it's in good hands, but I know I'm not the one that has to make it. So, you know, yeah, it's been good. You know, and my wife says over and over again, Wally, I don't know how you've done this for so many years, because we maybe never realized, you know, how much work there is when you do both jobs.
Mm-hmm. And for Ed, you've worked with a lot of coaches as a GM. What's Wally like? Is he different in any ways than the other coaches you've worked with in the past?
I mean, there's a lot of layers to this. First of all, I mean, Wally has more experience than both of the coaches that I've worked with combined. And he also has the experience as a general manager, so it gives me an opportunity to bounce ideas off of him. And while he's being modest, when he was talking, like we work as a team. You know, obviously, it gives me the freedom to select the players, but we both share the same goals. We both share the same passion for this football team. That's winning football games. You know, we're not in this to, you know, kind of roll the ball out there and see what happens. You know, we expect our teams to go out and make things happen, and that's what I enjoy about our conversations on the daily, is that everything is about making sure that the BC Lions put the best football team on the field. And, you know, we both want physical players. We both want passionate players, and we want players that are going to execute. But as far as, you know, us working together and the day-to-day, I mean, you know, his experience, those things, those areas where I have questions, it's easy to walk in there and ask him a question and get a different perspective. And it has allowed me to obviously continuously grow in the position that I'm in, but also allows me to make decisions that I feel best fit this football team.
Great. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
Thank you. The next question is from John Keane with Kamloops Radio NL. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Question for all three. Maybe we'll start with Jonathan. John, this is your fourth Kamloops training camp. Wally, your ninth, and for Ed, this would be your first. So I want to ask you about coming to the city again here in 11 days, what you like about it, what you think of training camp, and for maybe for Ed, what you've heard about the training camp set up here and what you expect once camp gets going.
Yeah, I love Kamloops. I can't wait. You know, I'm looking forward to a new year, a new start for our team. But, yeah, ever since I was a rookie, came into the league and I saw pictures of where we were going at Kamloops. And, I mean, it's fantastic. It's outstanding. The setup is beautiful, beautiful weather. The facilities are great. And the people there are nice as well. So it's run really smoothly. Just excited to get back there and get back with the team.
You know, from my point of view, I mean, Kamloops has been, the city has been very, very receptive to us. You know, obviously the mayor and the city council were the ones that, you know, put their neck on the line by, you know, inviting us to come, making sure that it worked well for them, for us, you know, and that was a great start 9 years ago. But, you know, since then, you know, we look at Kamloops more as kind of our second home. We have a lot of fans that come out, they're very familiar with our players, with our coaches, with our team. You know, even the business community has been very supportive of the BC Lions. And, You know, we always look forward to FanFest, you know, with BC Lotteries being the host. You know, and they do a great job of getting the community, getting the team to be you know, having fun together. And, you know, so Kamloops is more than just a place where we go for 3 weeks to have training camp. And like Jonathan said, the facilities are outstanding. The university does a great job in making sure that they take care of all our needs. You know, and then when you look at it, the one thing you always want in training camp is a nice, warm, sunny, warm day. And, you know, when you look at Kamloops, and I've already looked at the weather for next week, it's going to be really nice, probably a high 70s, low 80s. And, you know, not many places in Canada that will give you that kind of weather. So, you know, when you look at what we get, when you look at what we're trying to create, you know, Kamloops is good. And, you know, we see a lot of people throughout the province because they're also the tournament capital of Canada. It seems like every weekend there's hundreds and hundreds of kids running around, you know, and it makes it fun for them and it also makes it fun for us. So,
thanks, Wally. Ed?
I'm looking forward to training camp for obviously several reasons, you know, getting the players together and having everyone be in an environment where they can get to know one another. We have 3 weeks in which to gel and mold and then, you know, gain a perspective on each different personality. Looking forward to seeing the facilities up close and warm. You can't beat warm, consistent weather. That's just something that, you know, I enjoy, and when the warmer it is, the better it is for as far as I'm concerned. I enjoy that. But I'm also looking forward to meeting our fans. So it's going to be exciting for us, and I'm looking forward to the drive and just can't wait till we get there.
Just one follow-up here. I know you're trying to sort out a number of players coming to camp here. How closer to you are you now with, you know, being 11 days away here?
Well, here's the thing about, here's my approach on the roster. Regardless if we have 75, when we get to 75, we're continuously looking to improve our roster throughout the season until the championship is won and until the champion is named. So I don't think anyone should rest comfortably believing or thinking that because they are in camp that there's this golden ticket to that they're going to remain. I think everyone should just come in with the mindset of coming in to compete and cherish the roster spot that they have, because our objective is to win and to be competitive. And if anyone comes in expecting, you know, they look around and believe that it's, hey, they've made it, I would say that's the wrong approach. So we're going to be at 75 when we get there, plus our draft picks and non-counters, but we're still looking to improve our roster as the days go by.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. The next question is from Dan Ralph with the Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Ed, I wonder if I could ask you to put your GM hat on and look towards the 2019 draft and tell me, when you look at a young man in your backyard named Michael O'Connor, what type of pro potential do you see?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, again, when we're talking about players in the future, I would have to have an opportunity to watch the film a little bit more and gain a perspective. I don't necessarily go that far down the line as far as
okay.
But it's a great detail, and that would be an unfair question to ask or answer, given the limited amount
okay.
of, you know, film that I have on him.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Lowell Ulrich with TSN Radio Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. For Ed, a couple things. You just mentioned roster spots. A week and a half out before you have to put a 75 man out. Are you likely at this point leaning towards taking a deferred spot on Travis? What's the update with his health?
I think, you know, when I've watched Travis practice, he'll be available to camp. He will not be on deferred. I believe we're going to have a scheduled workout here in the next couple of days where we're going to open it up to the media and allow everyone to see his where he's at. We feel very good and optimistic about Travis's ability to participate. in practice, again, we're going to take it with based on what the doctors and give us, but he is more than ready, and he will not go on a deferred list.
Yeah, yeah. Just to add to that, tomorrow, Friday, we will have a workout as part of his physical, and that's something that we've discussed with him. We've just discussed with our medical staff. So both Tristan and Chris, who are our athletic therapists and our strength coach, will be out there with Travis to do everything that we expect that he'll do a training camp. So Travis is very comfortable. He's very much looking forward to it. And when I spoke to him about this, he also was very much wanting to put to rest his health status as far as training camp. You know, we don't want to put him on the deferred because that then prevents him from doing anything and everything on the field, which would be counterproductive. So he's been doing everything that we expected. He does his drops. He does his all the agility drills. You know, so once we get tomorrow, Friday done, that's going to be more to, I guess, see, let the media see, let the public see where he's at. But I think in his mind, he's coming to training camp to be a part of practice. But, you know, like anybody that comes off major surgery, we definitely will monitor him. And, you know, he's got to be honest with us, too, because we don't know how he feels. We're hoping that everything goes well. But, you know, if there's a day or two that we got to cut back, you know, then we'll definitely do that, as we have in the past with other players, right?
Right. Ed, this week you signed Bola Cumbo, which you indicated after the draft that might be possible. Does that mean that you are out on Micah Aoi?
As I stated earlier, we're going to continue to do everything we can to put the best competition on this football team and build the kind of football team that our fans deserve, our fans expect, and the type of team that can win in this division. There's no players out of question at this stage.
How do you see him being used this year, Wally? I'll ask you that because a couple of years ago he was a rotational player who was excellent on special teams. Did you, when you talked to him about coming back, was there the opportunity for an increased role with your team this year?
You're talking about Bo, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, my thing, like Ed said, you know, we're going to let training camp decide who's where and what. We're not promising Bo anything. I didn't promise Bo anything when Ed signed him. You know, the only thing I said to Ed is about Bo's his great athleticism, you know, his size. You know, when you look at it, he's another first-round pick that we have this year that we signed. You know, what I'm hoping for and what I understand to be true is that his short stint in the NFL has helped him maybe to appreciate what it takes to be a professional football player, where it's not always just about physical skill sets. It's also about preparation, understanding what's expected of you, understanding your football assignments. And, you know, I think we all know that Bo, you know, has tremendous athleticism, but if he can show us that he's matured a little bit, not that he wasn't mature before, but, you know, more mature as a football player, then you're right. We have to then get our best players on the field, and if he's one of our best players, we'll find ways to get him on the field.
Last thing for me, Wally, I just wanted to ask, you know, you've been asked already, following up on what Dan Ralph asked previously about your last year. You know, there was on television this week saying this is your last mini camp, it's your last this and it's your last that. How are you going to handle that? And also, are you thinking, because it's your last year, might you try to coach differently in any way? Anything you've ever wanted to try as a coaching regimen that you haven't attempted to do?
Well, you know what? Finally, you asked me a great question, okay? In a lot of years.
Finally.
But no, seriously, I have been thinking about being a little bit more reckless, okay? And part of me is, you know how conservative I am. You know how I am about a lot of things. But, you know, talking with Mark, talking with Jerry, talking about with Jeff, here, how about this? If I'm going to adopt Don Matthews' maybe mindset a little bit about, you know, letting go a little bit, hanging, you know, you know, not being dumb, I don't believe that, but be more aggressive, maybe be more courageous, maybe be more willing to take risks, okay, because at the end of it, I feel comfortable that the coaches that are surrounding me will give me the options to be able to do that with confidence. And a lot of that has to do, Lowell, is me, right? It's not them, it's me. So you're right. This is my last year. I'm going to maybe work harder at trying to win. And if that means I got to take more risk, then, you know, what's the worst that can happen? They're going to fire me? Okay, so if they do, God bless them. I'll just have an earlier retirement than I've already had. But, to me, I want to win. Ed wants to win. The coaches want to win. And I think the players want to win. So if that means I got to be a little more outside the box, hey, I'm going to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. The next question is from Mark Olenchek. Please state your media outlet and proceed with your question.
Yeah, Mark Olenchek with SidelineToStage.com. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Quick question for you, Ed. Just wanted to know, how important was it for you to get that extra pick in this year's draft? I know you really wanted to rebuild the trenches and so forth, but just want to know why it was so key that you wanted to get that extra draft pick and just how pleased you are with the draft selection.
Well, you know, first of all, as we were going through the process and we were the draft process and all of our meetings and we were discussing the players and we spent many hours reviewing these players. And when we looked, we felt that there was an opportunity for us to address our interior line, whether it's on the offensive side with two offensive linemen or one player on the defensive line. But we felt that that was an area that needed to be addressed. And as far as the draft picks were concerned, it was a calculated risk, but it was also a calculated move where we felt we were getting a very good player regardless of who we were able to select, and we felt that we needed to add depth in those areas. And if our philosophy is going to be that we're going to build our team from the inside out and we have enough of a consensus that there are players, there's more than 10 to 12 players that we were taking in the first round, but knowing that Julian Laurent specifically was a player that we felt might not be there at 12, the 12th pick, then it was an opportunity for us to make that kind of move. And you know, Wally and I discussed it as a group. I left the facility for an hour and a half, thought about it, came back. Wally and I, he was finished his walk, and we sat out back and talked about it for another 45 minutes. And, you know, he told me, you know, go with my gut. And I went with my gut, and I felt that getting two first-round picks this year gave us a great opportunity to be extremely competitive now, also with an eye on the future. And then some, you know, may feel that it was a risk moving next year's first-round pick. But as I looked at it, with next year, with so many free agents coming available and so many guys being available to us, I felt that this was the time to do that and take that chance because we could always find a player next year and during free agency to bridge us to 2020 first round pick if need so.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from a participant with TSN. Please state your name and proceed with your question.
Hey guys, it's Farhan Lalji. I'll ask Wally, where do you plan to line up Bo? I know Lowell asked about him earlier, but what position do you plan to line him up at? And I'll ask both of you guys, excuse me, will he have an opportunity to start? And how difficult would that be with the rest of your roster as far as Canadian linebackers are concerned?
Well, I'll answer the first question. I mean, obviously, he's got the body type of a perfect Will. He's long, mm-hmm. He's athletic. You know, he's good against the pass, he's physical enough, and he's also a very good rusher. When you look at depth, you know, we've got good football players. Herdman's a very good football player. Frederick Chagnon's a good football player. Dubuisson's a good football player. You know, could Messam be a Will linebacker? I guess it all depends on, you know, what you want from him. You know, he's almost 6'2". He's, you know, 210 right now. He's got excellent speed. Could he put on 10 pounds and be a Will in a year or two? Yes. You know, so I'm not worried about that. What we want to try to do is build the best team. And when Ed comes to me and says, Wally, we could get Bo Lacumbo, I'm begging him to make sure we get him because athletes like him just don't grow on trees. And as you say, he's very, very productive on teams. He's also now got to be productive on defense. And my hope is that his maturity comes through. And if it does, you know, then that will open up more options for the coaches.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'd like to turn the meeting back over to Ms. Hutchinson.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back here tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern for the Saskatchewan Rough Rider season preview call, where we'll be joined by Zach Caleros and Chris Jones. The full schedule of preview calls is available at press.cfl.ca, and the season kicks off on June 14th with Edmonton versus Winnipeg at Investors Group Field. Thanks again. Enjoy your afternoon.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.